Okay, at the moment no one's connected.
I can't get any Wi-Fi access.
Can't.
I've been trying really.
Okay, I trust you. I trust you. Okay. You could call your son. No, well, I did have someone call their kid. No, that's one of the problems here has been the Wi-Fi and getting a connection through the Wi-Fi. So when I did that in Australia, I had 16 people on the server by the time I fired it up. So who here has more than one child that plays Minecraft? Okay. Who here is primarily for their children rather than themselves? Who is here unashamedly for themselves? That's, that's good to see. Okay, so I'll get him out of there before he gets it hit by a creeper. If anybody makes a connection during the session, anybody finds the Wi-Fi reliable enough, give a yell, and then I will give you a prize. The prize is a six-month subscription to Pluralsight. For those of you that don't know, Pluralsight is an online video training provider. So their idea is that you go in, you pay a subscription fee every month. When you pay a subscription fee every month, you get access to their entire catalogue. And so you can go and teach yourself anything. I've just had my first course published on Pluralsight. So even though I've written 30 books for Microsoft Press, I've done my first course for Pluralsight, and it's on Windows Azure IaaS. So it's actually drilling down into some of the stuff that I'm looking at in detail in this session. So while we're waiting for just everybody to get in, I've got a few little memes for us on Minecraft, because there's a bit of a crossover between Minecraft and Futurama fans. This is what people have built in Minecraft. Periodic table of Minecraft. That'll make more sense if you play the game rather than what your kids will find this funny. What my mum thinks I do, play Halo. What my friends thinks I do, sitting in the sandbox. What society thinks I do, playing Lego. What I think I do, making incredible structures. And you see these and you think, wow, how much Asperger's is there out there? what the reality is. $2,000 Minecraft machine. There's more than a few people that do that. Childhood, let's play with Lego. Adulthood, Minecraft. Actually, to be brutally honest, I'm actually still very much in this category myself. Just got the Lego Sydney Opera House, 3,000 pieces, which is awesome. So I buy it and I go, yeah, it's for my son. And my wife goes, uh-huh, I'm going to buy more shoes. What others build in Minecraft. So Minecraft, it's a bit of a weird little game that's sort of taken off. And the purpose behind this session comes back to an idea I've been thinking about for a long time. Who here learnt networking purely to play multiplayer games? Okay, exactly. TCP/IP, IPX, SPX. We figured that out. We figured out how to put network cards into our computers, how to set up, in my case, 10 base 2 network, so that we could go and play games against one another. So if you've learnt networking to play games, why not play games to learn a bit more about the cloud? Who here is an IT pro more than a developer? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, I think, you know, apologies to Microsoft, I think the way that they've actually been selling Azure, especially Azure IaaS, has really been they're focused on the developers and the IT pros have gone, are you kidding? Why would we be interested in that? Why would we be interested in the cloud? The cloud's going to take our jobs. You know, it's a matter of IT pros have been less interested, especially the way that Azure was introduced. Azure was introduced as, who's SQL Azure? Here's Exchange Azure, and IT pros are going, great. Something I can't pull apart, something I can't kick the tyres on. So the idea behind this session was, okay, let's refocus Azure and talk about Azure in terms of a way that IT pros will understand, which is, you know, funnily enough, running a game server. Why? Because a lot of IT pros originally skilled up because they were running a game server. Who's here ever run a game server of any kind on the internet? Exactly. How much did you have to teach yourself? Did you have to teach yourself to do it, or was it instantly obvious how to do it? Teach, exactly. You learnt because you had something fun to do. If you've got something fun to do with Azure, you're actually more likely to muck around with it. So why Minecraft on Azure? So at its core, a lot of IT pros are simply unaware of what Azure does, what Azure can offer them. So here I've got a simple workload that you guys are going to be able to nail in terms of deploying yourself. I'll show you how to sign up for a free trial subscription so you can actually go out and play with this yourself. And you've got a reason, because you've either got yourself or you've got your kids and you want to come up with a way of spinning up a server. You want to come up with a quick way of spinning up a server that doesn't mean building a dedicated server or building a VM that's sitting running on one of your computers at home. Because as much as I love my son, I'm not going to run a permanent server at home when I've got to run a whole lot of other development VMs when I'm writing books or writing courseware or whatever. But spinning something up in my... Who here's got an MSDN subscription? Okay, if you've got an MSDN subscription, you already have an Azure subscription. All you've got to do is light it up. You have $160. Now, to put that in context of a Minecraft server, I'm running a large Minecraft server, and I'll show you the difference between them in a sec, 24/7, and it's costing me about $1 a day. So that's, I get $160 a month on my subscription. It's not even consuming a quarter of that. If it was consuming it, well, what I could do is actually just have a PowerShell script or sign on and spin up the server when he wanted to play. But I can have a server up there the whole time without worrying about it. And there's ways to secure it, and I'll talk a bit about that. So, what are you going to learn in this session? First, how to sign up for a Windows Azure trial subscription. Who here who has MSDN has not lit up their Azure subscription? Right, and that's not a surprise. I was in the same boat. I was like, right, I've got MSDN, and they were talking about, oh, you've got Azure. And I'm thinking, why the heck would I want that? And what happened is I was actually out at dinner with some friends from Google. And I'm good friends, and I've known for 20 years a guy who is now essentially one of the heads of data center infrastructure for Google. And there was a couple of us talking, and they were the Google infrastructure guys that look after data centers. And they were saying, hey, yeah, you know, our eight-year-old goes and spins up Minecraft in the Google private cloud. And another one said, yeah, my 10-year-old's just spun up Minecraft in AWS. And I thought, wow, wait a sec, what the heck's going on here? We've got primary school-aged children spinning up cloud servers to play against one another when IT pros are like, oh, I'm not going to go and touch the cloud. Clearly something's going on here. And I thought to myself, and we were, you know, you're always looking for a topic when you're going to go and talk at TechEd. So Andrew over there happened to be the track owner in Australia, and I came back and I said, well, what if we did spinning up Minecraft in Azure as a way of showing off how Azure works? And he said, that's a great idea. So that's the genesis of this session. Because the moment I heard that kids were doing it, I thought, well, I'm going to go and see. So I lit up my subscription, bang, bang, bang. I had Minecraft on Azure and I went, wow, okay, this is really easy and I can see how 10-year-olds are doing this. And if 10-year-olds can figure it out, I'm sure those of us that are several multiples of 10 years old can also figure it out. Because if you think about it, when most of us were probably learning to network, we were probably in our teens and our 20s. So there was probably people there sitting in their late 30s and 40s thinking, oh my gosh, how are these people learning networking? Well, it's the same. You've got kids learning cloud. And one of the things about clouds is it abstracts away a lot of this detail so they don't need to know it. So signing up for an Azure subscription. In this case, I've just got a short video. And the reason I got a video is that I'm not going to go and show you my credit card number when I sign up. Now, when you sign up for an Azure subscription, you provide a credit card number. You provide that to uniquely identify yourself. Your credit card, when you're signing up for a trial subscription, will never be charged. Now, the reason that they ask for a credit card subscription is, and if you just shift your thinking for a moment, why do virus writers in Eastern Europe go out and infect a lot of computers? What are they creating? Botnets. What are botnets? They're raw compute power. So if you made it so that all you needed was a dodgy Windows Live email address to go and spin up an Azure subscription, trial subscription, and then you can go and spin up an insane amount of compute. Needless to say, you could do some pretty good damage with that amount of computing power. So they've done this for purely uniqueness. You provide them a... Yep. Yeah. Yes. Oh, well, actually, in your MSDN, you don't. You're already uniquely identified. So you'll be able to fire it up. You turn it on, okay? This is only for the free subscription. So the free subscription is different from the trial subscription, and the level you get depends on your MSDN subscription. But what you can do in your case, so if you've already got MSDN, you can still fire up a trial subscription, and you can actually link the subscription so that you're managing all of your VMs in the one console. So then you basically just have 600 hours of compute, and then you just move your resources across them, assuming you're going to get near hitting that. Okay, so signing up, really, really easy. All you do is you go to the Windows Azure, so manage.windows Azure, and then you go click sign up. It asks you your name, your address, and your phone number. Sends you a text message. This is, again, to verify your uniqueness. So you send yourself a text message, you then enter the code that's been sent to you, and then once you have done that, you provide your payment information. So the first thing you've done is you've verified that you're a real person. Then you come in and you provide your payment information, and that's your credit card here. So I'm not going to show you what my phone number is, and I am, of course, not going to show you what my MasterCard looks like. Once you click Next, bang, you're up. You have your subscription. So you've heard all of those stories in tech ed presentations about, you know, some wanker executive who's out there spinning up virtual machines because he wants to go around IT. And your thought is probably, you're kidding, right? These guys couldn't clean an Etch-a-Sketch. It's easy enough for these idiots to do. Right? 10-year-olds can spin up Azure instances. This is why they're making this analogy about, you know, they're not calling out because, you know, when you're being an official Microsoft speaker in a keynote, you're not allowed to say, we know that these people have trouble with licking paste. But they're still smart enough to be able to spin up Azure. And that's the point that they're trying to make, but they're not necessarily making it subtly enough that we actually understand it. We're just thinking like, they think Barry and accounts can start up a virtual machine. Yeah, right. Barry can't get into his car if he loses his keys. So what do you get in your Azure trial? Well, actually, you get quite a bit. You get $200 worth of utilization. And understanding utilization means that you can get $200 worth of compute, $200 worth of outbound traffic. So if you're uploading stuff into Azure, you're not paying for it. As you will remember from the keynote, if your machine is shut down, and I'll show you how to do that, not just shut down in the OS, shut down within Azure, and there's a difference between the two, you're not getting charged for it. So you can sit there and spin up multiple virtual machines, and they're only going to charge you on a per-minute basis while they're utilised. And I'll show you how the billing works in a minute. You can also build and deploy websites. I run my user group website off my MSDN subscription. It costs me about 5 cents a day for my entire user group website. And that's got an SQL backend, and that's running .NET Nuke. So you want to spin up a quick website? Well, Azure is really good at that. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is managing Windows Azure and then throwing something fun like Minecraft on it. Has anybody connected? No. Rubbish network. I can't do anything about that one. Okay, so first thing I'll show you is I've got a remote desktop connection here into that server that's running Windows running Minecraft. And as you can see, all it is server 2012. I'm just remote desktop connection into a server 2012 box. I can do anything on that box that I could do on a normal server 2012 box. So that's the first way you start got to start thinking about it. It's virtual machines in the cloud. So how do I build that? Okay, so I've shown you what it does. Let me show you how to build it. When I want to build a virtual machine, I go into the Azure console and I say I want a new virtual machine. I select from the gallery and it gives me an image selection. So if I'm building this from scratch, I say, right, I'll go server 2012 data center because R2 is in preview. The next thing I do is I choose which version, and that's simply which version of Patch Tuesday the virtual machine is going to be at. So when you spin up a new VM in Azure, it will be fully patched to that point. Now, one of the confusing things you'll hear, again, in keynotes and discussions of this, is they go, oh, we keep updating your virtual machines. Well, actually, that's not true. That's great if you're running software as a service, but if you're running a VM like this that you've spun up, the moment you spin it up, you take responsibility for patching the host, the OS that's actually running there. So it becomes your problem to ensure that Windows updates are applied. And that's something that people have missed. You've got to give the virtual machine a name. The virtual machine name has to be unique across Azure. So you saw that Minecraft server, cloudapp.net. It's got to be a 15-character name that's unique across Azure. It's actually not that hard to come up with, but it's something you have to think about. So if I go, 10 demo Minecraft. That'll do. Next thing I do, check the size. This is how much compute resources I'm assigning to the virtual machine. I can go back and change this later on. Now, if you're running a Minecraft server where you're going to get a bunch of people connecting to it, you're going to be allocating a different amount of resources than you would if you were going to be running a Minecraft server that only two of your kids are going to be connecting to. Now, I'll show you in a little bit how to change the amount of RAM Minecraft uses, but by default, a Minecraft server uses about a gig of RAM. So in this case, I'm saying, no, look, I'm fine with large because I know that the billing on large is going to come in at around 75 cents a day, 75 cents to a dollar a day. So I'm fine with that. I've got $160 a month to burn. I don't care. Username. Trick with username is this is your default administrator account on the VM that's going to get spun up. The restrictions on this are that you can't use administrator, you can't use root, and you can't use wheel. So those are all traditional admin names. You can't use admin. So you can't use any of the traditional names. You've got to come up with something that you remember. Now, in my case, I use Chancellor. I wanted to use Arch Chancellor out of Terry Pratchett, but that was a bit long, so I came back down to Chancellor. And then I have a password. And the reason I use Chancellor is it means that I've got a consistent local administrator account across every virtual machine that I spin up in Azure. And if you go and take that Pluralsight course, you'll see I did the same thing there. Now, cloud services, I'm not going to worry about too much in terms of just discussing. Cloud service name is going to be the fully qualified domain name associated with that Minecraft server. Now, the trick with the fully qualified domain name is every time you deallocate and reallocate a VM, it might get a different public IP address, but it will keep the fully qualified domain name. So that means when you've got your kids connecting in, or yourself connecting into your Minecraft server, they can do it by fully qualified domain name, and it doesn't matter if it's shut down or spun up, it's always going to be the same name because it's going to be the name that you've assigned to the virtual machine. Here it said, where do you want to go, which virtual network? So I've created one called Standard. Now here you can see one called VPN Secure, which I might hit if I forgot time. Your other concern, especially if you're letting your kids play on a public... You'd never let your kids play on a public server, right? Why? Because you don't know what kind of weird pedos are up there. Even though that's only one IP address. You don't know who's port scanning looking for Minecraft servers. What you can do with Windows Azure is you can configure Windows Azure so that instead of it just being public and publicly available to the internet, you have to have a special VPN client that's got a certificate built into it. You've got to have the private certificate on your machine, which will install with the client, to connect. So what your kid could do is they could take a USB stick to school, give it to their friends could install the VPN on their computer, and then they can connect, and it'll look like it's a Minecraft server running on their private network, and only kids that have that VPN key are actually able to connect. So you can go and lock it right down so that they can't even, no one else can see the server except for the people you want. Or you can just run it as a public server and you don't care, as long as you go and kick people on and off. So here I'm just saying standard because I'm going to be publishing it to the internet. Storage account, don't worry about. Availability set, if I wanted to make it highly available, it's Minecraft, I don't need to make it bloody highly available. Next thing, endpoints. I'm not going to do anything here, but I will explain how these work and then I'll come back and do it. An endpoint allows a port to be mapped from the Azure gateway, the interface from Azure, through to the VM. So by default, a VM can only accept remote desktop and PowerShell traffic. And PowerShell traffic only if it's properly authenticated, and remote desktop obviously if it's authenticated. So even if you put a VM up there, if you turn off the firewall, only these two ports are actually going to be open to the internet because there's basically an intervening firewall sitting there. There's no endpoint mapping. And that's all I have to do. I click tick, and what happens is it starts spinning up the server. So that's TENS Demo MC. Now, the other thing about how this works is you've seen me do that, and this is going to take about 5 or 6 minutes before it spins up. And when it spins up, it's going to look very much like this running virtual machine. Now, once it's spun up, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go and put Java on it, and then I'm going to have to go and put the Minecraft server on it. Now, the nice thing about Windows Azure is it allows you to go and do exactly what you would do in your own environment if you had a template type of server that you needed to deploy on a regular basis. That is, you can go and capture it to a gallery image. So what I'll do now is I will show you spinning up a previously created gallery image that's got Java on it and got the Minecraft server on it. And then, so what I'll do is I'll start spinning those up, and then hopefully by that time, this one that's starting to spin up will be spun up, and then I'll prepare it, and then the other one. So if I come back here and go new, and go virtual machine, go from gallery, and then go my images, I have pre-created a Minecraft prepped image. So not only can you spin up one Minecraft server for your kids, you can spin up multiple Minecraft servers for your kids. So I just go that image, give it a name, so TENS MC2, specify the resources I want to throw at it, give it a username for the admin account. Okay, I am fine with all of those information, bits of information. Bang, there's one, another one. And then I can go back again. And this is where you're getting an idea of how the cloud works. Is it setting up new virtual machines and spinning them up in the cloud? Really simple. So I can go, right, I want a fourth Minecraft server because I've already got one there. I've got two that are now spinning up, one that I haven't built yet. I again go back and choose my image, Minecraft prepped. So this will be TENS MC4. Allocate resources to it, username. Now, when you are thinking about virtual machine or operating system deployment, is it usually this simple to go and spin up new OSs? So what you can see there is I've got a bunch. Hello. One has failed. Which one failed? Maybe. Failed to create. Okay, so I'll wait for those other ones to go up. So we've got Tekkid Demo Minecraft. So I'll just dismiss completed. And that one, it's now in the provisioning stage. The provisioning stage means it's almost there. So the way that we administer virtual machines running in Azure is through remote desktop. But we can also turn on PowerShell and use remote PowerShell to do it as well. So if you've got remote PowerShell, you can do it a lot easier. There's also System Center App Controller. If you install System Center App Controller, you can go and connect your virtual machine manager infrastructure to your Azure infrastructure, and you can start to move stuff between. You can capture VHDs locally. You can upload them to Windows Azure. If they're sysprepped, you can then spin a virtual machine up that way. So if you wanted to go and put a Windows 8 image in the cloud, not that you need a license to, you could go and create a Windows 8 image, sysprep it, create it in Hyper-V, sysprep it, shut it down, you've got your VHD file. You could then upload that VHD file, put it in your gallery, and when it's sitting in your gallery, then click, 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 deploy, there's my VDI in the cloud.
Not that you're licensed for it.
Well, I'm pointing out that's actually a fact, but Azure also will run anything that Hyper-V will. So if you've got Linux machines, if you wanted to run a Linux Minecraft server, you could do that. But the key to understanding your Azure subscription is every VM that you power up that's already in the gallery, you're licensed for. So you're not paying for an extra data center edition license of Server 2012 or Server 2012 R2 because you've already paid for it with your subscription. So you can get... Yep. Yes. Once you're starting to do it a lot more, of course, once you're starting to do bulk operations, App Controller, and even PowerShell. So PowerShell allows you to do the whole thing. So you can go and create... You can write a script in PowerShell that you just kick off the script and you don't even have to fill out that wizard. It'll go and automatically spin up a server in Azure. So it's really... Okay, so now we see the demo Minecraft is up. So what I do is I click on that one. And to get into it, I click connect, and what it does is it spits down a custom RDP file for me. I say connect. Now, I give it Chancellor. And now what it does is it does a login for the first time on that new server. Now, because it's doing the login for the first time, if you watched Macca and... Rick's session yesterday, you saw actually when they were spinning up a new machine how long it would take to deploy a new machine when installing from media. And I think it was, what, about 40 minutes that you had it at? Yeah, that was, so that was an upgrade, okay. But even installing a new machine will take longer if you're installing it off disk than it does from this, because this is taking templates to spin it up. So we're waiting there. What it does is it goes, and this is the first log on, so it's got to do all of its faffing about. And the first time you log on, it does do a whole lot of faffing about. The next time you log on, it basically comes in straight in. So what we were doing is we got our Windows Server 2012 backdrop there. And we just wait for the Server Manager console to load up. So it's still faffing about here. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Now, another advantage of Azure. Azure has images as soon as they're released by Microsoft. So as soon as 2012 R2, I know you can get it on TechNet and MSDN, but as soon as 2012 R2 RTMs, you will be able to spin up instances of 2012 in Azure. So if you're thinking about testing stuff against Server 2012 R2, why go and spend the time downloading the ISO from TechNet, building it into your Hyper-V environment and doing it there, when you can go and spin up a gallery image running Server 2012 R2 in Azure? Very simple. Okay, so we've got the Server Manager console. What we need to do before we go out and get Larry Ellison's Java and the Minecraft client is we need to turn off Internet Explorer Enhanced Security Configuration. Those of you who have learnt managing servers know that this little annoying bit and piece is in there for your protection, but it's always what you stumble into because you go and launch Internet Explorer to get something and it goes, oh, do you trust this website? And you're sitting there going, add, 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 add. Add, close, turn it off, start it up again. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with 2012, you go here to Internet Explorer Enhanced Security Configuration, you click off. So that's part one. Then what we do is we come down here, we go into Internet Explorer, and oh gosh, am I looking forward back to having that start hint back there. I'm looking forward to it so much. When the preview of 2012 R2 was actually released, it was actually available in Azure about 6 hours before it was available on TechNet. So here I'm just going through my standard setup IE. I'm going to say use my recommended settings because I don't care. Now, your Azure virtual machines have internet connectivity, which means that they can go out, but unless you configure an endpoint, nothing can come in. So here I go, www.java.com. I'm going to download Java, so free Java download. Now here, I want to see all Java downloads because I'm running it on a 64-bit OS. I don't want to run the 32-bit version, and for some reason it doesn't do an OS detect. Windows offline, 64-bit. So all I do now is save it, and I go and put it on the desktop, and it downloads Java. So give it a sec, give it a sec, give it a sec. There we go. So installing Java, well, it's like installing Java on anything. It's just install. It goes out. It probably asks me, do I want to go and install another browser that I don't want? But no, in this case, all it does is it goes through and installs Java. So it's just deploying software as you would deploy software normally, because all it is a virtual machine. And this is the thing that a lot of IT pros haven't realised about Azure, is all you're doing is you can spin up virtual machines. It's not about spinning up websites, because for most of us, that's not what we're really interested in. What we'd love is a test lab where we don't worry about, we spin it up, destroy it, spin it up, destroy it. We've all got labs like that where we do. We go and check, does this work? We can take things, we can go and test them there, and we've got infrastructure to go and test it. So we've installed Java. The next step to take is installing Minecraft. So we go to Minecraft.net. Now, to get the Minecraft server, you actually have to have a Minecraft subscription. So in that case, that's not a problem for me. I'm going to use my son's subscription, which I paid for. No, it's in his name. There's no point in clicking remember me. Do I want to remember the password? So I go no. So now I go to download and I download Minecraft server. So you see here Minecraft server 1.6.2.exe. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to save this in a special directory. So I'm going to go into my computer local disk. Now before I get there, one of the things that confuses a few people when they fire up Azure virtual machines is that they're automatically allocated this drive D. That drive D is purely temporary storage. Every time the machine boots or recycles, that's cleared. So don't go and store anything important on that. You can go and add disks quite easily to an Azure virtual machine. Just go under the console and you click add disk, and what it'll do is go and add a disk. And the number of disks that you can allocated are dependent on the size of the virtual machine. But you can, if you go for one of the largest virtual machines, you can add multi-disks of terabyte size. So you can just have as much storage as you want. And in terms of storage, I'm doing a session at about, I think it's 155 today, on DPM and backing up from your local computer, backing up into Azure and using Azure as your backup target. So here, I'm going to put it in drive C. I'll create a new folder, call it Minecraft, and I will save it there. So Minecraft server has downloaded. Okay, so let's go have a look at the... So there we've got our Minecraft server 1.6.2. I'll just double click on it and it fires up Minecraft server. So what it does is goes and creates a region. Now what I want to know here is 25565. That's the port that Minecraft needs. So now that I know what port, and you can go and change that, I have to do two things. I have to go into Windows Firewall with Advanced Security and configure an inbound rule to allow traffic on that port. Then I need to go and configure an endpoint. So let's go into Windows Firewall, and I'll do it the proper way rather than the way I saw done yesterday, where someone turned off Windows Firewall completely. Apparently it does. Apparently that's real systems administration. So what we do is we create an inbound rule. Port. It's TCP 25565. Allow the connection. I'm going to do it in all profiles and I'll call it Minecraft. So that's gone and created that rule. So next thing we do is we've got our TENS demo MC. We can see also TENS MC2, the one we spun up from the galleries, also running. So we're now currently running three Minecraft servers on Windows Azure. And we're not having, you know, a disaster where we're going to be super build. The other issue with a demo account, if you or any Minecraft account, when if you prepay and you say this is my limit, once it hits a limit, bang, you are not going to be charged anymore. So if you've got an MSDN subscription, you hit your $160, you won't be charged an extra cent. You simply will not be able to run anything until you've finished your subscription period. So here I go endpoints. I go add an endpoint, add standalone endpoint because you can load balance endpoints if you're running multiple web servers. Give it a name. Well, it's Minecraft, so let's call it that. TCP 25565 25565. So that's inbound, outbound. And that's it. So what it does now is it goes and reconfigures the network there that's connected to that virtual machine. And it goes in and adds the endpoint. So I'll wait until this comes in. So while that's doing that, what I'll do is I'll show you my bill. Because how much does this cost is very important. And understanding how the costing works, it's all broken down for you in quite some detail. So when you log in to see your bill, you see all of your subscriptions. So in this case, I've only got my subscription there. And what this subscription will show me when it comes up, it'll say I've got 24 days left, I've got 147. So you can see I've been running a Minecraft server for a while. I've got heaps and heaps and heaps of resources to play with. In terms of pay-as-you-go, I've only transferred about 100 gig in. Haven't transferred much data out, and I'm not being charged for it. Storage, I'm using about 4 gig a month, and I'm only being charged 35 cents for that so far. My compute hours is my big one, and that's at one based on one per VM. Now, I'm not running the small version. As you saw, I went to large, which has given me 7 gig of memory, and you can go larger than that. Obviously, the larger you go, the more you're going to be paying. But I'm at the four cores, 7 gigs of memory, and I have paid a grand total of $11.67 for the privilege of doing that, running multiple virtual machines. With your Azure subscriptions, you've got three options. You can do a pay-as-you-go subscription, where you simply pay for what you use. And if you're if you're going to be doing it yourself, it's probably cheaper to go out and get MSDN because MSDNs, even though it's a couple of $1,000s, the minimum organisational subscription is about $500 a month for 6 months, and you can have a 6-month subscription or a 12-month subscription at $500 a month. Now, that's not going to suit most of you because that's way expensive. Pay as you go, especially when you've got kids around, is much better because if you can fire that up on the weekend, you're only going to be paying a couple of bucks a month for that subscription to give them somewhere to play Minecraft. So now we come back here and we see that we've gone and successfully created the endpoint. So if I come back here to TENS Demo MC and I look at the dashboard, what I can see here is it's verifying that I've got the DNS name, tensdemomc.cloudapp.net. It'll also show me the currently assigned public IP address. So if I go disconnect, go multiplayer, go direct connect, and go tensdemomc.cloudapp.net and click join server. I get a connection, I log in, and bang, I'm signed into my brand new Minecraft server. So that's shown you from gallery through to connection. Who did? So who's David M. Steele? And a bag of Skittles. So when I spun that up, I spun it up in the Western United States. The latency is actually much better than going to... I don't mind. You could have at least bought me chocolates. Go kill a chicken. So you saw the... you went and saw the... When I did this in Australia, I had people killing one another and running around and... And then someone got eaten by a creeper. It exploded, but it's all good. The latency's not bad, as you can see. You can see that, you know... This is probably... And you can see that that's moving around quite nicely. I had someone ask, why didn't you do Counter-Strike? And I said, well, I could have, but Minecraft's a bit more kid-friendly. Latency's not bad. If you're here, I'm not sure, and even though I know that they're putting data centres in Australia, I suspect that in terms of latency for you guys, I'm guessing your pipe across to the US is probably far more substantial than your pipe across to Australia. Yes? Oh, they're the same cable. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so... Okay, so you guys don't have just a direct connection into... Because I know when Australia first got connected... Yep. Oh, well, if you've got better connectivity to Australia, that's going to help your decisions as to where... I've placed all of these in West US, because West US from Australia has easily the best connectivity, but you see, it doesn't matter here. Even though East Asia is geographically closer, the connectivity's just simply not there. So what we've seen there is we've got a very nice Minecraft server that was up and running and all worked. Now, I'll close that client. I will come back to TEN's demo MC. We know that it all works now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this demo Minecraft server into an image that I can then redeploy. So I've gone and copied, I don't need Java sitting on the desktop there anymore. So all I need to do that is to run sysprep. So I run Windows PowerShell. Come on, wake up. Run Windows PowerShell. Now everybody... thanks. CD Windows, CD System 32, sysprep.exe. Wait a sec, sorry. CD sysprep, sysprep.exe. So I get that. What I do is I go out of box experience is where I want it. I generalize the operating system and then I configure it to shut down. So what it's now going to go do is it's going to go and sysprep that VHD, that virtual machine, but it's going to keep the Minecraft server binaries. It's also going to keep my firewall rules. So all I will need to do when configuring this as a gallery machine, once I'll show you how to do that, is I will have everything configured there. Now, you can then write a startup script so that the Minecraft server automatically starts when the virtual machine boots. The reason you do this is that then if you want to spin up a new Minecraft server for your kids, or, for example, if you've got your kids coming over, you've got friends of your kids coming over, and you've got your kids' Minecraft server where they've gone and built something brilliant, and you don't want the cousins that you don't really like going in and smashing stuff in your kids' primary server, is you go and spin up a new server that the cousins and the kids can all play on so that they're not going to affect all of the stuff that your kids have gone and created. One of the issues I have when my son goes and plays with the children of my friend is that my son and my friend's daughter play very well together, except for my friend's youngest son is basically psychotic. and tries to destroy everything in the Minecraft world. So we've still got to wait. This one does take a couple of minutes to do, but that's fine. And what it does is, with any sysprep, it just goes and creates an image in VHD format, and then what you do is capture. So while that's doing that, let me show you how you go and do things with other... So if we go back to Minecraft 10s, which was our default one, if I go into here to configure, what I can do here is I can go and change the virtual machine size. So if I don't want to allocate those 4 cores, 7 gig of memory, I can go and change it here. I can go A6, and you see A6, A7. Now, the reason they went A6, A7 is that they realised if they had small, medium and large, what was small, medium and large now in 5 years' time is going to be trivial, trivial and trivial. So what they've decided is they're going to start going A6, A7, and they're just going to keep incrementing these as they go along, making larger and larger workloads as they support them. So go back to dashboard. Now you can go and attach. So if I click attach, what I can do is I can go and attach a disk. So I remember I said I wanted to go and attach storage. Well, if I want to go and attach storage, I just go attach empty disk. Now, all I have to do is give it the size. And if I say I want a new, 10 gig disk, I just click tick. And what it'll do is it'll now go and attach new storage to that existing Minecraft server. So we'll wait until that one comes across. Let's just go back and look at see whether or not our other one actually shut itself down. So it's shut itself down. So that's still attaching storage. If we go now back to 10's demo MC, what we can do is we can then shut down that virtual machine. Now, all it is that that's actually been shut down properly in the OS, and now that it's been shut down, it'll shut down in Azure. When it shut down in Azure, Azure deallocates everything. Now, the difference is if you shut down the OS in the VM, you are still allocated storage. You are still being charged for that storage. As you saw by my bill, that's not very much, but you are still allocated the same virtual IP address. The same public virtual IP address. So if you want to keep the same IP address, then you just shut it down, but you don't shut it down here. If you don't care about the public IP address, you shut it down here, then you're not charged a cent, even though that virtual machine's in storage, and you can start it up at any time. But when you start it up at any time, it will be allocated a new virtual IP address, but it'll keep its original fully qualified domain name. Okay. Yes? Yes, because it's all PowerShellable. So all you need to do is use PowerShell to do it. So okay, so we can see that that virtual machine's now shut down. And then what I do is I click Capture. And it says, what do you want to call your image name? Okay, so 10s... demo template. I have run sysprep on the virtual machine. I click OK. And what it does is now captures that image and it goes and puts it in the gallery so that every time I choose to spin up a new virtual machine, I can spin up off that template. So you can go and, for example, go and put SQL Server on a virtual machine or anything that you use commonly. You can go and put all of those, like .NET framework or whatever you need to install all the time on your servers so that you've got a template VM that's already ready. So what I'll do is quickly just jump back into the Minecraft server, if it's there. Might do a new connection in. The network here has been a bit flaky over the last... the whole time, yeah, it's been rubbish. So click connect. You can save these remote desktop files. I actually save them in my SkyDrive so that I can use them from any machine.
So, Chancellor. Makes the connection. Yeah, black, that's good. Oh, there we go. Okay, so there we can see the Minecraft server, but the one thing I did want to show you is if I go here and then, sorry, come into Server Manager Console, go in to Computer Management. I will see under Disk Management that I have that new allocated disk that I just added. So that's how you go and add storage to Windows Azure. All very straightforward. So we can see now that if we click here, we've successfully captured that machine. So if I go new, virtual machine, from gallery, click my images, what I see now is that I have my Minecraft demo server. Okay, that's pretty much my presentation. Any questions? No, so not yet. So the endpoints, you can script the endpoint creation. That's fine. You can script it all in PowerShell. But at the moment, for example, for this one, you have to remember that you need that. No. But what you can do is, as long as you don't deallocate your virtual machine, you will be assigned, you will retain the assignment. But, of course, when you're not deallocating it, you are being charged for it. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so what it does is it essentially will register your virtual machine name with the @cloudapp.net extension. So if you've got your own DNS or even running DNS in Minecraft or using dynamic DNS, you can go and point your own name using an alias record at that cloudapp.net name so that you can have any name you want pointed at that particular name. So if you wanted www.wally.co.nz, what you could do is you'd go and point it at wally.cloudapp.net and then people would just automatically go in on that one. Any other questions? Yep. Yes. Yes, so the virtual IP, the IP, publicly assigned IP addresses are tied to particular regions. So if you moved that over to another region, yes, you would be assigned a different one. But the thing to, one of the things that, again, is very difficult for systems administrators to understand is that we don't need to hard code IP addresses anymore. We're moving towards a much more flexible model there. And what we're really doing is you're always going to have the same fully qualified domain name, and that's the one that you concentrate on. You don't care. No. And you try explaining an IP address again to your 10-year-old. If you say, go and type this into your connection string, your 10-year-old understands. You know, Wally's Minecraft server.cloudapp.net, bang, they understand connecting to that. If you go 169.247. They're going, what? So, I mean, yeah, we're not a society that remembers phone numbers anymore. Think about that. How many phone numbers that are in your phone do you actually remember without clicking on the name? Okay, other questions? Yep. At the moment, you actually don't have a server call instance, but no, it wouldn't. And the reason is that when you are choosing your allocation for your VM, you're getting that, you're charged on that whole allocation. Yep. Yep. So if you could go and spin up a server core, and that would reduce what you would need to allocate to the virtual machine when you were building it up. But remember, you're essentially saying, I want large, and you'll be charged at large. It's running at the level that you've specified. So if you've got that subscription for that many minutes, that's what you're charged at. Yep. There have been some people that might have run certain things that rhyme with abhorrent on that, but I will also point out that you might get caught and then your subscription might get shut down. So you want to be very clever about that. Needless to say that... Well, the other issue is at the moment, Azure does not provide a a 3D graphics card emulation. So, for example, I can't run the Minecraft client in Azure because it doesn't have OpenGL support. You might be able to do that, yes. It's essentially the same as running something on Rackspace. So, of course, yes, it gets around geolocation. You Kiwis and your... I can't say anything because if you look at the stats, it's Australians are the worst pirates in the world. Okay. Yeah, I know. Oh. Anybody else got a question?
My 10-year-old wants to know if it'll run all the mods on...
Yes, so basically it's a server. You just treat it exactly as you would if it was running locally. Yep, yeah, of course. Asking for a friend. Okay, anybody else? Thank you very much. Remember to do your evals.